Where people gonna rise up and take what's there? 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "God, I voted."
This week in radical history for the week starting February 16th.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
In 1950, this day saw the swearing-in of Fidel Castro as Cuba's first post-revolutionary prime minister. Castro, a Cuban native from an affluent family, had opposed the regime of the U.S.-backed dictator Fulgencio Batista, who seized power in a coup in 1951. Castro made several unsuccessful attempts to launch the revolution, and at one point his forces had dwindled to just 9 men, including Argentine Marxist Ernesto Che Guevara. They hid in the Sierra Maestra Mountains, Castro's old childhood stomping ground, and fomented rebellion among the peasant class, based largely on the promise of land reform. Soon after taking charge, Castro nationalized a number of Cuba's assets, which had been held by U.S. companies. This and the long-promised land reform measures Castro implemented moved many of the island's wealthier families to emigrate to the U.S., and in 1961, the CIA, under the Kennedy administration, financed a mercenary army of Cuban exiles to invade the island and resume the previous dictatorship. The effort failed and became a national embarrassment for the Kennedy administration. It also led to the so-called Cuban Missile Crisis, wherein the Soviet Union installed a number of missile bases in Cuba as a deterrent to future invasion attempts by the U.S. And according to a number of sources, today marked the first documented instance of U.S. military advisors taking part directly in combat operations in El Salvador. In reality, the U.S. military advisors had been directing the Salvadoran government's counterinsurgency war against the FMLN, El Salvador's democratic leftist guerrilla organization. During the Iran-Contra hearings in 1987, the combat role of U.S. military personnel in El Salvador was discussed, and several years before that, a number of advisors were killed while flying reconnaissance missions to pinpoint rebel encampments for airstrikes. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, February 16th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
This week in radical history for February 17th, 1933, reports of 2 weeks of violence against labor unions and leaders make its way back to the United States, and coverage of Nazi concentration camps appear in magazines such as the AIZ in 1933. This publicly available information did nothing to dampen the enthusiasm of Hitler's financial supporters or the press agents in Europe and the United States, such as Henry Ford. Meanwhile, real journalists like George Selds, who documented the ties between American companies and Nazis, were suppressed. His stories were censored by U.S. press, and his 170,000 subscriber newsletters was driven out of business by J. Edgar Hoover's America's Secret Police, the FBI. Also on February 17, 1940 in Canada, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman suffers a severe stroke which leaves her paralyzed on the right side and unable to speak. She's rushed to the hospital where she remains for 6 weeks. After growing up in the United States, Emma would be deported by the government during the Red Scare years. Emma was banned from the country, called the Land of the Free, since 1931. Emma would die on May 14, 1940 in Toronto, Canada, her death following allowing her visa back in the United States, where she was buried in Waldheim Cemetery next to the Haymarket Martyrs in Chicago suburb. Anti-anarchist law continued to be used to prevent certain people from entering the United States, as question number 25 on the intake form at Ellis Island asks, "Are you an anarchist?" which would automatically disqualify you from entering the United States.
On this day, February 17th, in 1975, 2 years before the famous anti-nuclear protest and occupation of the Seabrook nuclear power plant construction site in New Hampshire, more than 20,000 protesters in Germany occupied the proposed site of another nuclear power plant in Weil, Germany, near the Rhine River. Unlike the Seabrook protest, the German occupiers, who were far greater in number, resisted police attempts to arrest them and maintained effective control of the location for a number of months. The German authorities abandoned the construction plans as a result, whereas at Seabrook, the nuclear power plant there was eventually built. Some 20 years later, the Weil site was made into a nature preserve, thus protecting sensitive wetlands that would have been destroyed had the nuclear facility been built. And on this day in 1982, another massacre of civilians in the El Quiche region of Guatemala was carried out by the armed forces under the command of U.S.-backed Guatemalan dictator José Efrén Ríos Montt. Over a period of several years, more than 600 massacres were carried out against the mostly Mayan population of El Quiche by the Ríos Montt regime as part of a strategy to break the will of the Guatemalan resistance movement. Ríos Montt was a graduate of the infamous School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia, where Latin American military personnel are trained in so-called counterinsurgency techniques, including torture, sabotage, and, as Ríos Montt demonstrated, the mass murder of innocent civilians. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, February 17th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
This week in radical history, for February 18th, 1851, United States, a crowd of Boston blacks break into federal prison, rescue Frederick Jenkins, a southern slave jailed under the terms of the Fugitive Slave Act, and spirit him away to freedom in Canada. The Fugitive Slave Law of 1850 made any federal marshal or any other official who did not arrest an alleged runaway slave liable for a fine up to $1,000. Law enforcement officials anywhere now had the duty to arrest anyone suspected of being a runaway slave on no more evidence than the complainant's sworn testimony of ownership. The suspected slave could not even ask for a jury trial to testify in his or her own behalf. In addition, any person aiding a runaway slave or by providing food or shelter was subject to 6 months imprisonment and also a $1,000 fine. Officers who captured a fugitive slave were entitled to a bonus for their work as well. Slave owners only needed to supply an affidavit to the federal marshal to capture an escaped slave. Since any suspect slave was not eligible for trial, this led to many free blacks being conscripted into slavery as they had no rights in courts and could not defend themselves against any accusations. Lastly, for February 18th, 1861, Apaho and Cheyenne are forced to cede most of eastern Colorado, land guaranteed them, quote, forever, unquote, in a treaty signed 10 years earlier. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, February 19th, in 1942, President Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066. These four little numbers sentenced some 120,000 people of Japanese descent to a harsh life in American concentration camps. Apparently, because of Pearl Harbor, all persons of Japanese descent were potential spies. More than two-thirds of those who were captured were American citizens, and at least half of them were children. By the end of World War II, only 10 people were actually convicted of spying for Japan, all of whom were white. Talk about racial profiling. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
This week in radical history, for February 20th, 1895, Frederick Douglass, escaped slave, anti-slavery leader, and advisor to Lincoln, dies at age 78. In 1875 address, Douglass proclaimed, quote, "If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want an ocean without its awful roar and its many waters. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will." Unquote. Also on February 20th, 1941, Buffy St. Marie, folk singer born on a reservation in Canada, she wrote this popular protest song in 1964, Universal Soldier.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill me for you, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan. and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy and fighting for the Reds. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He is the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. But his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Speaking about war and soldiers, on February 20th, on this date in 2005, Gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson dies at age 67 by suicide. A couple months previous, he wrote, quote, "We had become the Nazi monster in the eyes of the whole world, a nation of bullies and bastards who would rather kill than live peacefully. We are not just horrors of power and oil, but killer horrors with hate and fear in our hearts. We are human scum, and that's how history will judge us. No redeeming social value, just horrors." Unquote. Hunter S. Thompson. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, February 21st, in 1965, Malcolm X was assassinated. He was just about to deliver a speech in the Audubon Ballroom in Manhattan when a man came forward from the crowd, shooting him in the chest with a shotgun. Malcolm X was a powerful civil rights and human rights leader in America who associated himself with the Nation of Islam until right before his death. While some believe that the Nation of Islam was behind his assassination, Malcolm X's radical race politics definitely intimidated a number of people. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it.
Also on February 21st, 1972, the Harrisburg Seven. This was a group of religious anti-war activists. Six of the seven were Irish Catholic nuns and priests. They were charged with attempting to kidnap National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger and planning to blow up some steam tunnels. The trial would end in a hung jury and all would be eventually released. People, the time has
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, February 22nd in 1879, F.W. Woolworth opened his very first Five and Dime store in Utica, New York. As the Woolworth Company spread, the stores began to incorporate lunch counters, serving food and drinks to the public. In the South, segregated Woolworth lunch counters became very significant in the civil rights movement. The Greensboro sit-in in 1960, which took place at a Woolworth lunch counter, ignited a huge movement of sit-ins and boycotts all over the South. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it.
Out of my barrel. In the distance I can hear a kid singing a Christmas carol. And this is terrible. gorgeous and sinister. The pillow still smells like the secrets of a visitor. No one needs to know about this kind of thing. Blood on my back from the attack of her diamond ring. And me of all people, my mind's in a tailspin. I'm just a door-to-door encyclopedia salesman. Part of me feels like dirt, the rest doesn't know she said I'm a way better lover than her husband.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Mobile Fortress of Glee Studios. Special thanks again to this week's Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York and the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio, whose awesome audio I've borrowed for this week's show. Inspiration for this segment came from the Slingshot organizer, and much of the radical info for the show came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. So this week is the one-year anniversary of my show. It's kind of morphed from where it began, but it's been a hell of a fun ride. Thanks for taking it with me. Next couple of weeks, I'll be traveling a lot, visiting rad peeps and locales. So this week in Radical History may be an abridged version for next couple of weeks or three. Got to now hit the road. We're ending this week's show with a song from Buck 65. And always, each and every week, I am forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Going out of my mind, kind of holding my face in my hands like fine china. Undercover, literally. I told her about Cuba, I told her about Italy, physics and photography, a little Russian history. Everything about her to me was such a mystery. I gave her the once over, she gave me the blood blister. She had no idea I was falling in love with her. Call me mister, crucial inspiration. All she wanted was my lust and useful information. What am I putting myself through this crap for? Feels like I'm standing on top of a trapdoor. Lost at sea, tangled up in golden hair, a scavenger hunter. My life is like a folding chair. My daily routine is down to a system. I give the regular people truth and wisdom. That's what I do, it's my job to profit. I can see the future and make money off it.
Years from now, when you talk about this, and you will, be kind to